Prospecting Laws. Do Not Call Implementation Act of 2003, Junk Fax Prevention Act of 2005, Can Spam Act of 2003, Sherman Antitrust Act, and the Clayton Act, Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, the Civil Rights Acts and Federal Fair Housing Laws, Disability Protections, Reasonable Accommodations, and Housing Opportunities for Families. Introduction. Several federal and state statutes now govern solicitations or advertisements communicated by phone, fax, or email. Brokers, especially brokers who make cold calls or send out advertisements by fax or email, need to be aware of these statutes and may need to seek additional education. Anti-solicitation laws. Do Not Call Implementation Act of 2003. The United States Congress passed the Do Not Call Implementation Act, Public Law No. 108-10, in 2003 to protect consumers from unwanted phone calls from telemarketers. The passage of the Do Not Call Implementation Act ensured that the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, and the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, would create and maintain the Do Not Call Registry. The Do Not Call Registry. The registry is nationwide in scope, applies to all telemarketers, except certain nonprofit organizations, and covers interstate and intrastate telemarketing calls. Commercial telemarketers are not allowed to call a consumer if their number is on the registry, subject to certain exceptions. As a result, consumers can, if they choose, reduce the number of unwanted phone calls to their homes. Telephone numbers placed on the National Do Not Call Registry will remain on it permanently due to the Do Not Call Improvement Act of 2007, which became law in February 2008. More than 157 million phone numbers are on the National Do Not Call Registry. Telephone numbers on the registry will only be removed when they are disconnected and reassigned, or when the consumer chooses to remove a number from the registry. Sales agents who make cold calls must comply with the requirements of the National Do Not Call rules. Specifically, an agent must verify whether the number is on the National Do Not Call Registry before making a cold call. Agents may not make cold calls to numbers in the registry. Agents may not make cold calls to numbers in the registry. The broker/agent needs to update any download of the registry at least every 31 days. Established Business Relationships, EBR. An agent may call a person whose number is on the Do Not Call Registry if the broker has an established business relationship, EBR, with the person. An EBR exists with someone who was party to a transaction with the brokerage firm in the previous 18 months, or with someone who made an inquiry with the broker's firm within the last 3 months. Additionally, brokers may call if a consumer grants prior written permission. The rules require that a brokerage firm that permits agents to make cold calls maintain an internal Do Not Call list. Requests to be placed on the internal list must be honored indefinitely. The internal list applies to all agents in the brokerage. The company should maintain a central list into which each agent may input names and check before making calls. If a name is on the internal list, the agent may not call that number, even if the number is not on the National Do Not Call Registry. Do Not Call Penalties. The FTC fines telemarketing companies for each call to a member of the Do Not Call list. Junk Fax Prevention Act of 2005. The Telephone Consumer Protection Act, TCPA, restricts the use of the facsimile machine to deliver unsolicited advertisements. Specifically, the TCPA prohibits the use of any telephone facsimile machine, computer, or other device to send an unsolicited advertisement to a telephone facsimile machine. The TCPA applies only to those facsimile messages that constitute unsolicited advertisements. The statutory prohibition applies to such advertisements sent both to residential and business facsimile numbers. In 2005, the Junk Fax Prevention Act amended the TCPA to permit the sending of unsolicited facsimile advertisements to individuals and businesses with which the sender has an established business relationship, EBR, and to provide a process by which any sender must cease sending such advertisements upon the request of the recipient. On April 5, 2006, the Commission adopted rules to implement the Junk Fax Prevention Act. Among other things, it requires the sender of fax advertisements to provide notice and contact information on the fax that allows recipients to opt out of future fax transmissions from the sender, and requires senders to honor opt-out requests within the shortest reasonable period of time, not to exceed 30 days. Can Spam Act of 2003. The Can Spam Act of 2003 is a commonly used name for the federal law, more formally known as the Controlling the Assault of Non-Solicited Pornography and Marketing Act of 2003. The law took effect on January 1, 2004. When sending out emails with advertisements, brokers and their agents must comply with the federal Can Spam statute governing email solicitations. The statute applies to any email that contains advertising. The statute prohibits 1. The falsification of routing or sending information in any email. 2. Any false, misleading, or deceptive statements in the subject line. The Can Spam statute provides that the sender's message must contain clear and conspicuous notice that the message is an advertisement or solicitation. The statute also requires the sender's message to include a valid physical postal address and requires that emails containing advertisements must contain unsubscribe features. The statute requires that it be honored in 10 days and that the unsubscribe feature remain active for 30 days after the message is sent. Can Spam penalties. Each separate email in violation of the Can Spam Act is subject to penalties of up to $51,744. Unfair competition and business laws. Sherman Antitrust Act and Clayton Act. Commission rates and any other means by which sellers and buyers compensate brokers are always negotiable between the parties. Any attempt by a group of brokers or between a group of brokerage firms to set the commission rates in their area would be considered illegal price fixing. The federal laws with the greatest impact in this area are the Sherman Antitrust Act and the Clayton Act. The Sherman Antitrust Act is very specific concerning this violation. A state law that applies to unfair competition is the Texas Free Enterprise and Antitrust Act, which is enforced by the Texas Attorney General. All commissions are negotiable between a broker and their clients. They are not set by any board of realtors between competitors or TREC. Elements of antitrust violations. The elements of an antitrust violation are bullet, an agreement, bullet between competitors, bullet that imposes a restraint, bullet which is unreasonable. The antitrust laws prohibit any attempt to fix prices, limit competition by assigning market areas, or boycott discount brokers. An illegal boycott is an agreement among two or more competitors not to do business with another competitor to induce it to change its business practices. An example of a group boycott in real estate brokerage is when a group of brokerage firms refuse to show a certain brokerage's listings. Unfair business practices. Illegal group boycotts often arise in real estate advertising. Brokers should not collectively reduce their advertising or refuse to advertise altogether to force a publication to lower its advertising prices or policies. Real-world scenario, antitrust. Read the following scenario and answer each question using the information covered within it. Two brokers, Jamie and Finola, had a discussion about how they list their properties. Jamie informs Finola that he recently joined a private listing group on Facebook. He encourages Finola to join the listing group. He tells her that the group shares listings amongst themselves, that they do not enter into the MLS in order to keep the undesirables from stomping through their sellers' houses. Finola thinks this a good idea and asks Jamie how to join the group on Facebook. Jamie tells her that it's an open group, as far as Facebook is concerned, mainly because the brokers don't want to break antitrust rules. He then tells her to keep it a secret from Surrealty, because no one wants to work with the agents from that firm. Finola agrees to keep it quiet and interjects that she doesn't want to work with the agents at Surrealty either. Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. Fair housing or ADA? The ADA is an expansive law that affects almost all public accommodations, including retail stores, real estate offices, concert venues, government buildings, professional offices, restaurants, bars, and hotels, to name a few. Both a tenant in a commercial space and the landlord are potentially liable for violations of the ADA. ADA requirements and exemptions. When readily achievable, the ADA requires the removal of architectural and communication barriers. Ramp installations, curb cuts and sidewalks, repositioned shelves and telephones, flashing alarm lights, marked elevator control buttons, wider doors, elimination of turnstiles, alternate paths for travel, and levered door handles for easy access are also required. Single-family homes, private clubs, historic buildings, and religious organizations are exempt from the ADA. Federal Fair Housing Laws. The Civil Rights Acts. The Civil Rights Act of 1866. The first federal fair housing law was the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which granted people of all races and colors the right to inherit, purchase, lease, sell, hold, and convey real and personal property. It is a very broad law and is still in effect today. In 1968, in the case of Jones versus Alfred H. Mayer Company, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the 1866 law prohibits discrimination on the basis of race or color, without exception. While subsequent fair housing legislation allows some exceptions to the law, 1968 law, the Act of 1866 provides no exceptions. Lawsuits under this act are filed directly in federal court. The Civil Rights Act of 1968. The next significant housing legislation was the Federal Fair Housing Law, officially called Title VIII of the Civil Rights Act of 1968. It prohibits discrimination based on race, religion, and national origin. Sex was added as a protected class in 1974, followed by physical handicap and familial status in 1988. In January 2021, President Biden signed an executive order preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity and sexual orientation. CUD will enforce the Fair Housing Act to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Age is not a protected category under this law. The law prohibits discrimination in the sale or rental of housing and vacant land offered for residential construction or use. The Civil Rights Act of 1968 significantly impacted the real estate community. While there are some exceptions to this law, real estate license holders must always comply. Steering versus blockbusting. Steering, also known as channeling, involves taking buyers or renters to or away from a particular area based on their race, religion, etc. Steering is the most common cause for complaint under the law. Steering can be blatant or quite subtle, directing buyers or renters to a particular neighborhood or to a particular building within an apartment complex based on a protected class would be an example of steering. Grouping families with children in one building in an apartment complex would also constitute steering and could subject the landlord and property manager to liability under fair housing laws. Blockbusting, also known as panic peddling, this is any attempt to induce panic selling in a neighborhood for financial gain. The most common tactic is to imply the entrance of a new ethnic or racial group into the neighborhood and suggest to homeowners that they sell now while values are still high. The perpetrators of blockbusting often bought properties at below market prices from concerned sellers, only to sell them later at above market prices to minority buyers. The Fair Housing Act. The Fair Housing Act covers the sale and rental of most housing. In some circumstances, the 1968 Act exempts owner-occupied buildings with no more than four units, single-family housing sold or rented without the use of a broker, and housing operated by organizations and private clubs that limit occupancy to members. Take a look at the prohibited actions in both the sale/rental of property and in mortgage lending. Decisions cannot be based on race, color, national origin, religion, sex, familial status, or handicap, disability. Prohibited actions in housing sales/rentals include bullet, refusing to rent/sell housing, bullet, refusing to negotiate for housing, bullet, making housing unavailable, bullet, denying the availability of a dwelling, bullet, setting different terms, conditions, or privileges for the sale/rental of a dwelling, bullet, providing different housing services or facilities, bullet, falsely denying that housing is available for inspection, sale, or rental, bullet, persuading owners to sell/rent for profit, blockbusting, bullet, denying anyone access to or membership in a facility or service, that is MLS, related to the sale/rental of housing. Prohibited actions in mortgage lending include bullet, refusing to make a mortgage loan, bullet, refusing to provide information regarding loans, bullet, imposing different terms or conditions on a loan, such as different interest rates, points, or fees, bullet, discriminating in appraising property, bullet, refusing to purchase a loan, bullet, setting different terms or conditions for purchasing a loan. Fair housing right violations are illegal. It is illegal for anyone to threaten, coerce, intimidate, or interfere with anyone exercising a fair housing right or assisting others who exercise that right. Protection for those with disabilities. A person is considered disabled if they have a condition that substantially limits at least one major life activity, have a record of such a disability, or are regarded as having such a disability. Buyers and renters are considered disabled if they have a physical or mental disability, including bullet hearing, bullet mobility and visual impairments, bullet chronic alcoholism, bullet chronic mental illness, bullet AIDS and AIDS-related complex, bullet mental disability. A landlord may not refuse to allow a tenant to make reasonable modifications to a dwelling or common use areas at the tenant's expense, if necessary, for the disabled person to use the housing. Where reasonable, the landlord may permit changes only if the tenant agrees to restore the property to its original condition upon moving out. Advertising can describe the expected behavior of a tenant, and non-smoking and sober do not violate the act. Reasonable accommodation. A landlord must make reasonable accommodations in rules, policies, practices, or services if necessary for the disabled person to use the housing. Example number one, a building with a no pets policy must allow a visually impaired tenant to keep a guide dog. Example number two, an apartment complex that offers tenants ample, unassigned parking must honor a request from a mobility impaired tenant for a reserved space near her apartment, if necessary, to assure that she can access her apartment. Discrimination against those with disabilities and violations. Housing need not be made available to a person who is a direct threat to the health or safety of others, or who currently uses illegal drugs. Suppose an individual feels they have been discriminated against. In that case, the individual may file a complaint with the Texas Workforce Commission Civil Rights Division, HUD, the courts, or the U.S. Attorney General. They must file the complaint within 2 years of the alleged act. The burden of proof of discrimination lies with the person filing the complaint. Remedies include actual damages and punitive damages. Because violation of the law is considered a civil offense, there are no criminal penalties for violations of fair housing laws. Those found guilty of violating the act must pay monetary penalties. Placing the equal housing sign in the office window, signing the Voluntary Affirmative Marketing Agreement, VAMA, implementing and adhering to standard office procedures for working with customers, and holding regular meetings on fair housing practices demonstrate compliance. Requirements for new buildings. In buildings with an elevator and 4+ units, bullet public and common areas must be accessible to persons with disabilities. Bullet doors and hallways must be wide enough for wheelchairs. Bullet note, these items apply to buildings that are ready for first occupancy after March 13, 1991. All units must have bullet an accessible route into and through the unit, bullet accessible light switches, electrical outlets, thermostats, and other environmental controls, bullet reinforced bathroom walls to allow later installation of grab bars, bullet kitchens and bathrooms that can be used by people in wheelchairs. Other important details. Bullet for buildings with 4 or more units and no elevator ready for occupancy after March 13, 1991. The above standards apply to ground floor units. Bullet, these requirements for new buildings do not replace any more stringent standards in state or local law. Housing opportunities for families. Unless a building or community qualifies as housing for older persons, it may not discriminate based on familial status. That is, it may not discriminate against families in which one or more children under 18 live with. 1. A parent. 2. A person who has legal custody of the child/children. 3. The designee of the parent or legal custodian, with the parent or custodian's written permission. Housing for older persons exemption. Familial status protection also applies to pregnant women and anyone securing legal custody of a child under 18. Housing for older persons is exempt from the prohibition against familial status discrimination if bullet HUD has determined that it is specifically designed for and occupied by elderly persons under a federal, state, or local government program. Bullet. It is occupied solely by persons who are 62 or older. Or, bullet, it houses at least one person who is 55 or older in at least 80% of the occupied units and adheres to a policy that demonstrates an intent to house persons who are 55 or older. Texas Fair Housing Laws. In addition to the Federal Fair Housing Act, Texas passed the Texas Fair Housing Act in 1989, which closely parallels the federal law.